Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Kuf Lamed Amud Aleph, but the new parak of Elazar de Milah. Elazar de Milah follows from the final Mishnah on the previous parak, which said that for Milah, you're mechalalin alet Shabbat. You're allowed to violate Shabbat for all the needs of a Milah. Now, the Mishnah is going to discuss what are those needs that we're talking about in terms of the Milah. V'Elazar Omer, Elazar has opinion that it's not only that which is directly necessary for the milah that you're allowed to violate the Shabbat, but even things are what we call machshire milah. Things that allow you to perform the milah are allowed to be done on Shabbat, and you're allowed to violate the Shabbat in order to do those items. For instance, in milah ivi kli me'erv Shabbat, if he didn't bring the knife that he needs to perform the milah me'erv Shabbat, me'vio b'Shabbat migulet, brings it on Shabbat openly, has to carry it openly in the streets, u'besakana, in a time when they had gzerot against doing milah, has to cover it up, hide it inside of his clothing, but he has a dim that see him put it in so they know what he's carrying. Vod, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, kortim eitzim lasot pechamim. You can even cut wood, trees, to make coals. Lasot barzel, to make a metallically, make the knife that you need for the milah. Klal Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva disagrees with this principle of Rabbi Eliezer. Komlacha shevsar lasuta me'erev Shabbat, eino dochat Shabbat. Any item that you could have performed on Erev Shabbat, and in no way would have detracted from the situation, then you cannot do it on Shabbat itself. Since you had the equal opportunity to do it before Shabbat, there's no reason to leave it till Shabbat in order to do it on Shabbat and violate the Shabbat. You had a possibility of doing it without violating the Shabbat. Shiyav shalah sotu me'erev Shabbat. If it's something that is impossible to do prior to the time, or something that, for whatever reason, would be detracted from if you did it beforehand, then it's docheh et Shabbat. Then it is docheh et Shabbat. So here we have two views of what the din of milah docheh et Shabbat is. There's a review of Rabbi Eliezer, which means basically anything that you need for the milah, has included preparatory items, anything to make, create, anything that is associated with the milah is considered to be fine or proper to violate the Shabbat for. And that's what it means, both the milah and machshirei milah you're allowed to violate the Shabbat for. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva says, it's only tzorchei milah that you're allowed to violate the Shabbat for, but machshirei milah, things that are preparatory in nature, those all could have been done before the Shabbat, and therefore they do not violate the Shabbat. Ibailu, taimo de Rabbi Eliezer mishum chavuve mitzvah, o dilma mishum chashto. What is the reason that you have to carry the knife out in open when you're bringing it to the Brit Milah? Two possibilities. One possibility is because you want to demonstrate your love for the mitzvah, demonstrate your excitement for the mitzvah, so we do a public demonstration of bringing the knife to do the mitzvah. Or is it simply that we're worried about what people are going to think you're carrying? Are you carrying personal objects on Shabbat? People are going to say, what is this person carrying? So we want you to carry it in the open so they know that what you're carrying is for the Milah. L'may naf kmino. Why does it make a difference? So that tuye mechuseh al pi edim. When there's no gzeira, when there is no sakana, are you allowed to bring the knife hidden? But you had edim that saw you put it away. Yamart mishum chavuvei mitzvah megulet in mechuseh lo. If it's for the mitzvah itself, then you can't hide it, because the whole idea is to demonstrate publicly your love for the mitzvah, your excitement about the mitzvah. To do it with edim and hide the knife, that's a subpar way to do it. We allow that when there's no choice. For instance, b'shad sakana. But if there's no sakana, then you're going to have to carry it out in public. If the whole problem here is just suspicion about what you're carrying, then I feel mechuseh sheper dami. Then even cover it up. Even at a time when there's no sakana, you can have the edim, place it into your shirt, and walk with it because there's no chashad anymore. You have edim that have knowledge of what you're carrying. Mai. What's the din? Itmar. Amar Rablevi. Lo amra Rabbi Eliezer elo lechuvive mitzvah. Eliezer said it because of the love of the mitzvah to demonstrate one's excitement over the mitzvah. Tanya Nami Ochi, we also have a brayta that supports it. Mevio migule, veno mevio mechuseh. Tivi Rabbi Eliezer, bring it open and not covered. Amar Ravashi, matnitan nami deika. Our Mishnah is also miduyak, if you think of our mission, diktani. Ubishata sakana mechuseh opi adim. That the Mishnah says, when is it true, or when do you have that dispensation to cover it and take it in a non-public manner with a deem? That's only when shata sakana. B'sakana in, shelo b'sakana lo. Mishnah qualifies that and says that's at the time of sakana. That means that if it wasn't a sakana, that's not the alternative. Good have structured the Mishnah that either you take it publicly, or you take it mechuseh al pi adim. And that would have covered both sides of it. The fact that the Mishnah relegates doing it in this manner to Shatah Sakana shows you that when there is no Sakana, you may not use this methodology, and you have to do it the other way, which is Shema Minah, Mishum Chavuvei Mitzvah Shema Minah. And it must be that the reason you have to carry it publicly is to demonstrate one's excitement for the mitzvah, and to make a public statement about the mitzvah, and therefore you cannot take it in a hidden manner, a piedim, when there is no Shatah Sakana. Tani Yidach, I have another Braita, Meviyom Gule, Veno Meviyom Mechuseh, Divi Rabbi Eliezer. Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Noagim Ayu, Bishatah Sakana, Shum Meviyom But here we have Rabbi Eliezer's statement, which is similar to our Mishnah. Brave it exposed, and you don't bring it covered. And then Rabbi Yehuda saying in Rabbi Eliezer's name that Bishata Sakana, our minhag was to bring it covered, api edim. Valu, edim te kamar. This statement that we did it api edim. Who are the edim? Yuvachad. It's this person themselves plus another person. Odil ma'avut who betray. Maybe it's him plus two. Two edim testifying to what he is doing. Or are the two edim here, he and someone else? Tashma, v'sakana mechasei al pi edim, iyamart bishlama hu v'trei shapir. That's why you have edim. Eliyamart hu v'chad, my edim. What type of edim do you have here? Edut, like David is saying, is somebody where two people testify about what they are seeing. And the person who is a nogea bavar, who is a bal davar, is not included. In a case, a litigant, in any other situation, the person themselves does not qualify to be called an aid, or they're not qualified as edim. He says, no, shiru'uim na'id b'makom acher. Doesn't mean that they are edim seeing this, but two people, which is the minimum number who would be ra'ui to testify in other situations, that's what you need here. He just can't do it by himself. He has to have one other person, a party, to what he does. Mar leaves it inconclusive, which tells you over here, the purpose of having the edim here is not to testify. If the purpose of the edim was to testify, then in Ochanami, by dinim memuno, dinim nefashot, you would need two edim. But over here, the purpose of the edim is not to testify, but to remove the chashash. So maybe in this instance, he and someone else is enough to remove that type of chashto, that suspicion. That the Gemara leaves as inconclusive. Ve'od amar Rabbi Eliezer. Turn Rabbanan, bimkomosha Rabbi Eliezer. In Rabbi Eliezer's town, obviously they followed the psak of Rabbi Eliezer. Hayu kortim etzim lasot pechamim. Used to cut wood, trees to make holes. Lasot barzel to make the metal. B'Shabbat, on Shabbat, in order to perform the milah. B'mkomosh Rabbi Yossi Aglili, hayochlim basar of bichalav. In the town of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, they used to eat milk and chicken together. And that is because chicken is not meat, technically. And so, therefore, chicken and milk together are not asur. Mi deoraita. It's a machloket in the Gemara in the Chulin, and we paskin that chicken and milk together are not asur min haTorah. It's an iser derabanan because they are too close in nature to meat and milk, and people will come to confuse them. So, in order to avoid that problem or that confusion, we say no chicken and milk, just like we say no meat and milk together. Rabbi Yossi Aglili was of the opinion that they were not gozer, this Isur de Rabbanan, and he felt that it was fine to have chicken and milk together, and that's what they did in his town. Levi ikla lebe Yosef Rishba. Levi went to the house of Yosef, the bird catcher, the bird hunter. Privule Resha de Tavto, which is what we have in our Gemara, but you can see that the Surah Teshah says that it's Tavsa b'chalba. They brought him what they, I guess, thought was a delicacy of some sort, the head of a peacock in milk. Loachal. He didn't eat. Yata lekabe derabi. Amalei amai lo tishamtinu. Why don't you excommunicate him? How can we allow this guy to be running around eating chicken and milk together? He's in violation of the Isur de Rabbanan. Malay, Achre de Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera Havo. He lives in the city of Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera. Vamino, Dilma Darash La, Ki Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And maybe Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera holds like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Tznan. Mishnah, Dunai Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Nermar. It says, Lo tochlu kol nevela, nemar lo tereshel gedi b'chalei vimo. To written juxtaposed together in the pasuk are, you may not eat a nevela, and number two is, you may not eat milk and meat together. Etch asur mishum nevela, asur tereshel b'chalav. If you have an isur nevela associated with this object, then you have an isur of basar and chalav. Of shasur mishum nevela. An of can be a nevela. Nevela is an animal that is killed or dies, but was not mishchat. So here, a bird that dies without shchita, that is classified as a nevela. So it seems that oaf qualifies, based on the pasuk, to be classified as one of those items that's asur b'basar b'chalav. Tomalomar b'chalei vimo. Pasuk, the way the it conveys the isur of basar b'chalav is do not cook the gdi, the kid, in its mother's milk. Yetzaof. Shein lo chalavim. The bird is not a mammal in that sense. It doesn't have mother's milk, which the child drinks from or can be cooked in. Because of that, Rabbi Yosef Galili believes that birds and milk together are not considered to be milk and meat together. And he didn't have this Isur d'Rabbanan. And so Rabbi said that maybe this Yosef Rishba, who lived in the city of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, was following this position of Rabbi Yosef Galili. And therefore he didn't want to excommunicate him because he didn't think he was doing it out of spite or disregard for the Chachamim. He was following whoever was the more adatra of his city. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Yerachat Aita Be'eretz Yisrael, Shayosim Ki Rabbi Eliezer. There's a city in Eretz Yisrael who followed the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Vayu Mitim Bizmanan. They used to die on time. They used to live a full life. V'lo Od, Ela Shepam Achat Gzera Machuta Rish'a Gzera L'Yisrael Ala Mila. There was a time when the Romans outlawed Mila for all the Jews. But this city was accepted from that Gzeirah. So number one, we know that the punishment for violating the Shabbat is punishment of Karet, which would be one of the parts of Karet, is shortening one's life. The fact that the Gemara indicates here that they lived a full life meant that they weren't classified or had to have violated the Shabbat and be Chayav Karet. That's number one. Number two is they see this extraterrestrial indication that this is true, that Rabbi Eliezer, maybe the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, is because you have a gzeirah, this terrible thing that they outlaw milah, and yet, in this one city where they followed the position of Rabbi Eliezer, they are accepted from this decree. So they saw this as a sign from heaven. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer is right. Very interesting, because Rabbi Eliezer, also in the Gemara in Baba Metzia, when he has the argument to Chachamim, al Taranur Shachnai, over there also, there's an intervention from heaven to support the position of Rabbi Eliezer. So this is characteristic of Rabbi Eliezer, who took positions that were controversial in some sense. He was against the majority. And nevertheless, in these situations, the Gemara sees these heavenly interventions to support the position of Rabbi Eliezer.
That's such a
miracle. Right, it's not as direct as the story in Baba Metzia, but it's still very interesting that the Gemara even quotes this idea that there was support for Rabbi Eliezer's position in this city that followed his view. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Kol mitzvah shekiblu aleihem b'simcha gom milah, any mitzvah which they accepted upon themselves with excitement, with happiness, gom milah, like Brit Milah, dichtiv, sas anochi alim ratecha, motzeis shalal rav. I am happy, excited, alim ratecha, on your words. Motzeis shalal rav is someone who's found a large, bountiful booty. So im ratecha, your word, what was the first tzivoy, the first mitzvah given, is Brit Milah. To sas anochi alim ratecha, kemotzeis shalal rav, which is, that is referencing Milah. Adayin osim ota b'simcha. We still perform it b'simcha, meaning that we do a mishteh. We have a suda associated with the mitzvah. That's what we have, sudat brit milah. Now, sas anochi alim ratecha motzei shalal rav is one of the psukim. When they bring the baby in, when they're preparing for the milah, that's one of the psukim that they say as an introductory pasuk. I think we also say it on Rosh Hashanah. Before we blow the shofar, there we spell out kara satan, and the one that's for the sin that's there for satan is this pasuk of sas anochi alim ratecha. Two times that we happen to mention this pasuk in a ritual sense. Chol mitzvah shekiblu aleihem biktata, and any mitzvah which they accepted with reluctance, with a little bit of controversy, kigon arayot, is arayot dichtiv, v'yishma Moshe et am buchen mishpichutav. Did this earlier, Moshe sees the people crying, lim mishpichutav, according to their families, al ishkei mishpichutav, not just that they were crying amongst themselves and their families, but because of their families. Adayin osin ota biktata. That mitzvah still involves machloket, controversy. And how does the Gemara demonstrate that? Deleka ketubah, delo rami ba tigra. There's never a ketubah that doesn't have a fight over it. There's always some sort of machloket that arises in the marriage process or in the negotiations of the marriage process. And they see that as a residual of the original acceptance of this mitzvah as being less than enthusiastic. Because of that, it leaves a residual bad feeling in the mitzvah that comes up in these negotiations. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Kol mitzvah shemasru Yisrael atzman aleihem lemita, any mitzvah which Bnei Yisrael gave up their life for, Shat Gzirat Malchut, when there were decrees, Kigon. Examples of that are Avodat Kochavim and Milah, Avodat Zerah and Brit Milah, Adayin Hi Mukzeke B'Yadam, and they still hold tight to that mitzvah. Those mitzvot are performed and kept despite time and despite the difficulties. Those are the two here, Avodat Zerah and Milah. Chol mitzvah shelo masru Yisrael atzman alei lemita. Mitzvot, where people did not give up their life in support of the mitzvah when they were decreed, b'shal gzirat malchut, gugon, tefillin. Example, tefillin, adayin hi mirufa biyadam. It's still weak in their hand. Damar Rabbi Yanai, Rinani says, tefillin tzuchim guf naki, Elisha bal knafayim. A person who puts on tefillin requires a clean body, like Elisha bal knafayim. We have no evidence that Elisha bal knafayim had a clean body. The Gemara makes the assumption that because Elisha bal knafayim is associated with tefillin in a very positive manner, that obviously that he had a guf naki. Mahi, what does it mean that you have to have a guf naki? Amar baya shelo yafiach lehem. Person may not flatulate when he's wearing them. Rav Amar Shleishan Bem, that you may not sleep in them. So that's the requirement for Guf Naki. And I pointed this out in the past. The Gemara mentions it here, but the Rishonim mentioned even more strength, is that people were very lax in the mitzvah of Talit and Tefillin in the time of the Rishonim. Part of it related to the idea that in the time of the Amoraim, when they wore Tefillin all day. And by the time they get to the Rishonim, or I'm sure the Gemara is already mentioning it, keep a Guf Naki all day was something that was difficult. So they didn't put on Tefillin. They didn't put on Tefillin at all. Wasn't that they just put it on for a short period of time. Innovation to put on tefillin just for davening is a much later innovation in order to allow people to put on tefillin with a guf naki and not feel they can't put on tefillin at all. That innovation allows us to put on tefillin today for a short period of time. There's been a comeback of the people wearing tefillin all day. Something that's happened in the last 10 years or so, where you see more and more people wearing tefillin over a longer duration, a longer period of time. But in the time of the Rishonim, Tosafot mentions it, Ibn Ezra mentions it, all of them start to mention this idea that people were not wearing talit and tefillin, and Ibn Ezra says, at least you should wear it for davening. And they're pressing the people to perform the mitzvot that we take for granted today, that everybody puts on talis and tefillin. Tefillin's a serious issue. Gemara in Shoshana says that, Poshe Yisrael begufan, those people that are true sinners are people, karkafta, lo manach, head or skull, the lo manach tefillin, that doesn't have tefillin on it. That's a serious violation, or a serious sin is considered someone who doesn't put on tefillin. But we see here that the Gemara says, since they were not moser nefesh al tefillin, that mitzvah didn't stay strong with them. Why is he called Elisha, man of wings? There was a time when there was a decree against Israel. Anybody puts on tefillin, they're going to puncture his head. In the mamida keneged mida, if you put on tefillin, they're going to puncture a hole in the skull exactly where you put on the tefillin. Despite the fact Elisha was putting on tefillin, he went out to the shuk, and some government official sees him. Elisha ben Kufayim takes off, v'ratzacharav, the kazdor chases him down. Kevin shigiyetz lo, he catches up with him. Atlan mi rosho, v'achzan biyado. Takes him off his head quickly and puts him into his hand. Malay, ma biyadecha. Says, what's in your hand? Malay, kanfei yona, the wings of a dove. Pashat yado. Nipzuba kanfei yona. He opens up his hand, and sure enough, there are wings of a dove there. Lefika chayu korimato, bal knafayim. That's why they called him Elisha bal knafayim, because this miracle with the knafayim. Maishna kanfei yona. The Amarle, why did he say, when he asked him what's in your hand, why did he pick the Kanfei Yonah? Below Amarle, Sharo Fot, and he didn't pick any other bird. Mishum, the Damia Knesset Yisrael, the Yonah. Because Bnei Yisrael are compared to the Yonah. Shinemar, Pasuk says in Tilim, Kanfei Yonah Nechpa Bakesef, Vevrota Birakrak Charutz. That the wings of the Yonah are covered in silver, and its pinions are like yellow gold. Here it's describing Bnei Yisrael, and it describes them like these silver wings of the Yonah. So because of that, he picked the Yonah. My Yonah zu kanfei meginot aleh. Just like by the Yonah, its wings protected. Avisrael mitzvot meginot aleihem. So do Bnei Yisrael, the mitzvot protect them. What's unique about the wings of a Yonah? So Rashi says over here, Nea nimchemet b'chartumea ele b'knafeha. That it doesn't fight with its beak or with its claws. It rather uses its wings to defend itself and to fight itself. It uses it as a tensile weapon, and therefore the wings are considered to be that important part of the Yonah. That's the way Rashi describes it here. Back on Memtad, he says it also also uses it to protect and to defend itself against other birds or against humans when they attack, that it also uses as a defense mechanism. Tosafot mentions, Omeri, Damrina b'mitrash, kolafochim geim ninochim agav sela. Any other bird, when they're tired, they relax. When it's tired, it keeps one wing flapping and rests the other wing. That's a continuous motion, the wings being something where they never rest. So too, the Bnei Yisrael are constantly involved in mitzvot. That's where Tosafot explains it back on Mem Tet Amud Aleph. Question is, what is this proof about them not being Moser Nefesh al Tefillin? So Rashi here says, the reason that they mention the story is because Elisha Baal Kanafayim was unusual. He was the only one wearing Tefillin during the time of the decree. He was the only one that was willing to be Moser Nefesh, whereas everybody else wasn't. On the other hand, Tosafot says, Elisha Baal Kanafayim is the problem here. He was not Moser Nefesh for the Tefillin because he didn't keep them on. He took them off and hid them. And so that's the problem over here. He didn't tell the truth and say that they were tefillin. That's what the Rashbam says. So the story is brought, according to Rashi, to shed light on others that did not act like Elisha Baal Kanafayim. Whereas Tosafot says Elisha Baal Kanafayim himself is what the problem is, because he wasn't willing to say that it was tefillin, and he said it was kanfei yonah, despite the fact that the story sounds miraculous, sounds like things went well for him. Nevertheless, he should have been Moser Nefesh for the mitzvah tefillin b'shat gzirat ha-malchut. Amar Rav Abba bar Rav Ado, Amar Rav Yitzchak, pam achat, shachachu v'lo yivu izmel me'ar Shabbat. They did not bring the mila knife before Shabbat. V'yivu b'Shabbat derech gagot v'derech hatzerot. They brought it by going from roof to roof and through the hatzerot and through the courtyards. Shalo b'rtzon Reb Eliezer, against the position of Rabbi Lezer. I don't think it literally means Shelo Birtzon Rabbi Lezer, that he didn't approve, but it's against that position that Rabbi Lezer had staked out. This was problematic. Matkilav Rav Yosef, Shelo Birtzon Rabbi Lezer. Avadarabba, what do you mean it's not going to Rabbi Lezer? It's just the opposite. Rabbi Lezer, he's the shari. He's the one that allows you, when you don't do something on Erev Shabbat, to do it on Shabbat. V'chitei ma'shalo b'ritzon Rabbi Lezer d'shari afilu b'rishut rabim, that Rabbi Lezer allows you to do this in Rishut Rabim. So why are you doing it over the roofs and through the courtyards, which are either permissible or only asur midrabanan? Why do they opt to go to the Isur d'rabanan and not just do it straight through Rishut Rabim? Ella, b'ritzon rabanan d'asru derech Rishut Rabim. Sounds like they did it in the Ritzon of the Rabbanan, who says you can't do it in Rishut Rabim, v'sharu derech agod v'derech chatzirot v'derech apribirot. So he says, they did it with the way the Chachamim's position lays out, which is, you're not allowed to violate the Shabbat to bring it, and they allow you to do it on the roofs and on through the Chatzerot and Karpefiot. Or it says, Umishari. Since when did the Rabbanan allow you to do this? V'atani k'shem she'mivino to derech Rishut Rabim, kach e'mivino to lo derech agol v'lo derech kapifot v'lo derech Chatzerot. The Rabbanan, when they said something's not allowed, they said, you can't violate an Isur d'oraita before Mila. You can't violate an Isur de Rabbanan. The Rabbanan were ma'amid divrehem afilu b'makom karet. The Chamim are gozer. They were gozer across the board. Even the face of an Isur karet of Mila, they said you can't violate the Shabbos. If you didn't bring it beforehand, you can't do it on Shabbat. Even if it's only a violation of Isur de Rabbanan. So how can you claim over here that this is Britzon Rabbanan? The Rabbanan say no bringing it. That means not through an Isur d'oraita Rishut Rabim, and not through an Isur de Rabbanan. Over the Gagot, Chatzerot, and Karpifiot. So if that's the case, it's not like the Rabbanan either. It's not like Rabbi Lezer and those that argue on Rabbi Lezer, Ella Bertzon Rabbi Shimon, but rather like Rabbi Shimon. We're bringing a third Tana here. So it's not like Rabbi Lezer, who says they should have bought it through the Rishut Rabim, not violating Isur Rabbanan. It's not like the Chachamim who say, don't violate an Isur Doraita, don't violate an Isur Rabbanan. So who are they subscribing to? Why do they do this? They hold like Rabbi Shimon. The Tanan, Rabbi Shimon Omer, we have a Mishnah in Eruvin, which we'll get to shortly. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Echad Gagot, Ve'echad Chatzerot, Ve'echad Karpifot, Kulan, Rishut, Echad Hein, Lekelim, Sheshavtu, Dochan. They're considered to be one area for kelim that rested in them. Below the kelim sheshavtu b'toch habayit. Not for the kelim that rested in the house. The isur to carry from the house to the chatzer is for items that are found inside the house. The onset of Shabbat came. Any utensil, anything that's inside the house, You may not carry from the house out to the chatzer or the chatzer back to the house unless you have a ruvei chatzerot. On the other hand, if you have kelim that are in the chatzer itself, kelim that were left in the chatzer, then to carry them within the chatzer, everybody agrees you can do because they're in the area of the chatzer and you're not moving between two different rishuyot. So even though you don't have an eruv chatzerot, you can carry around in the chatzer. Now there's a different opinions about where else you can carry them. Machlok between Rav Meir, the Chachamim, and Rabbi Shimon. We'll just focus on Rabbi Shimon here. Rabbi Shimon says that the chatzer, the roofs of the houses, and the karpifot, which are like the backyards almost, these are areas, large tracts of land that are fenced in. They're not made as livable space. They're not where the residents are, where their people live. They're just areas that are surrounded, whether it's used for grazing, whether it's used for storage, large area tracts of land that are fenced in, that are karpifot. So he says they are all considered to be one reshut. And therefore, if you leave kelim on the outset of Shabbat out in the chatzer, you can carry them in the chatzer, you can carry them from the chatzer to the roofs, and you can carry them from there to the karpifot, because they're all considered to be one area. One reshut midrabanan. So therefore, over here, when they brought the knife from the chatzer, through the roofs, to the karpifot, and brought it, they were doing or following the position of Rabbi Shimon, who says that's all considered to be one reshut, and it's not a violation of an isur derabanan. Because isur derabanan does not affect items that are left in the chatzer, that are brought in this manner, because they're all considered to be one reshut, and there's no violation of Shabbat here, even midrabanan. And so that's why Rav Ash explained that these people who did this were following this position of Rabbi Shimon. What's interesting here, Tosafot asks a question, which is somewhat difficult. He says, I don't understand why this is shalob reshut Rabbi Eliezer. How come when they brought it in this manner that only violated Isur Derabanan is not like Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Eliezer, yes, says that you can violate an Isur Doraita to perform the mitzvah of Milah, but he would never tell you that if you have an option not to violate, say you had a knife here, you have a knife ready to do the Milah. He would never say to you, you can go now make a knife to bring it to do the Milah. You already have something available. When you have something available and you have an option to do it without a violation of an Isur Doraita, or you have an option to do it with a violation of Isur Doraita, it's clear that he would opt to do it without the violation of Isur Doraita. So why, when they took it in such a manner that they only had to be in violation of Isurei Derabanan, would Rabbi Eliezer necessarily disagree with that? Rabbi Eliezer might say, take in Rishut Rabim when you have to. But if you don't have to, minimize the Chilul Shabbat. Do it in a way that's only a violation of an Isur Derabanan. Here Tosafot does not give an answer. He leaves it as a question. Why is it that the Gemara feels that Rabbi Eliezer would opt to prefer that you violate an Isur Doraita than an Isur Derabanan? Doesn't seem to make sense, especially with the, we're going to see in the upcoming Gemarot, that we try to minimize that. Whenever there's a conflict between violating an Isur and doing the Asay, if we can avoid the conflict, we do. If there's no way to avoid the conflict, then we have to do something to deal with it. So here too, why don't we say the same thing? Well, interesting enough, that Tosafot on the Mishnah, he discusses Rabbi Eliezer, he first asks the question, which is interesting. Why don't you bring the baby to the knife instead of the knife to the baby? So he gives answers as to why that's not the best way to do it. Va'od yesh lamar, kevin diyoter bekal, la'akviya kli, mishaviya tinok, shari avalezer, g'day lemaher ha-mitzvah. Much easier to carry the knife to get it to the baby than to take the baby to the knife. Even though there might be less violation of Shabbat by taking the baby than there is by taking the knife. So over here, Tosafot says that Rabbi Eliezer is willing to have a violation of an Isur Doraita versus Isur Derabanan in order to expedite the process, in order to have the Mila take place faster. So you could answer similarly over here, that if the process was expedited by taking it through the Reshut Rabim rather than through the Chatzerot, then Rabbi Eliezer would have opted for that, and that's why the Gemara here says that this isn't like Rabbi Eliezer. Because if it was a shorter route or a faster route to take it through Reshut Rabim, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you should do that, the Mahera Mitzvah, in order to do the Mitzvah faster. So he only says that when you have an equal option between a violation of Doraita and a violation of Derabanan, we say take the Derabanan, not the Doraita. But if the Doraita ends up making it faster or better, then we're going to say do it and violate the Doraita, even though for a little more time or a little more effort, inconvenience, undertaking, you could do it the other way. Alright, so now, by mine, Rabbi Zera mi Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Zera asked Rabbi Asi a question. Mavui shalom nishtat fubo. You have a mavui that they did not do what's called shituf mivaot. Mahu letatel bikulo. Can you carry around it entirely? We're gonna get to this again. This is a little bit of Eruvin stuff that we're gonna get to when we reach Eruvin. But in Eruvin, just for basic structure, you have, in their day, the houses that surrounded the courtyards. And then you had numerous courtyards that opened up into a mavui. Mavui is the equivalent of a cul-de-sac. I mean, we'll loosely interpret it that way. The Gemara and Eruvin, we have different views of what a mavui is. But I'd loosely say it's a cul-de-sac. So you have a cul-de-sac which has courtyards that open into it. Courtyards all have houses surrounding them. So The problem with these is that there's joint ownership. The house is a private domain, but we have multiple houses opening up to the chatzer, so there's multiple ownerships in the chatzer. So in order to carry from the houses into the chatzer, you need an eruv chatzerot. So it joins all the parties of the chatzer together and makes it as if it's one reshut, and that's why everybody can carry. On top of that, you may not carry from the chatzerot into the mavoi, because mavoi also involves joint ownership. It's joint ownership of all the courtyards that open into the mavoi. So in order to be able to carry from the chatzerot into the mavoi, or from the mavoi into the chatzerot, you have to do what's called the shituf mivoot. You have to join together, similar to an eruv chatzerot, but it's just done for a mavoi. You join together in order to allow everybody to carry from the courtyards into the mavoi, and from the mavoi into the courtyards. So the question is, we just saw here that if you have a chatzer, and you leave items in the chatzer, you're allowed to carry them on the gagot, you're allowed to carry them throughout the whole chatzer at least, a minimum of through the chatzer, and maybe you carry them into the gagot or karpifot. You have all these options because the chatzer has its own standing. The question he's asking is, what's the standing of the mavoi? So he didn't perform a shituf mivoot, and you have items, utensils that were left in the mavoi. On Shabbat, can you carry them internally in the mavoi? Do they have the same din like a chatzer? A chatzer, if you leave the utensils there and you did not make an eruv chatzerot, you're allowed to carry those items around the chatzer without any problem. You can carry in the chatzer itself because that's the rule of the chatzer. The problem is from the bayit to the chatzer, not the chatzer itself. Rashi over here says something very interesting. He says, you can wear your clothing in the house, go out to the chatzer, undo your clothing, and then you can carry them wherever you want in the chatzer. Rav Eger says, tzarchi and gadol, those are kelim of the bayit. If you're wearing them in the house and then take them out and take them off in the chatzer, that's considered to be klei bayit, and he doesn't understand where Rashi got this view from. On the other hand, the simplest way to explain it is that you have items that were left in the chatzer, and you can move them around the chatzer. Everybody agrees to that. So it's over here. What's the din with them mavoi? That's what the question posed by Rabbi Zera to Rabbi Yasi. It's me, Amrinan, ke chatzer dami. Do we say that mavoi is the same din as a chatzer? Ma chatzer afo gavdolo irvu mutar letaltel below. Chatzer, even though they didn't do an eruv chatzerot, you're still allowed to carry around the chatzer items that were left in the chatzer. Hai nami, avagavdol nishtatfu bo mutar letatel b'kulo. So too, the mavoi, if you don't have the shituf mivot, if you're kelim that were left in the mavoi, you could carry them around the mavoi. Odilma lo dami, the chatzer. Maybe it's not similar to a chatzer. Chatzer itle dalid mechitzot. One of the definitions of a courtyard is that it has four walls around it. Since it has four walls around it, that makes it unique. But mavoi, you do not have four walls to it. You have, at maximum, three walls. And maybe you have even two walls, depending on what type of mavoi it is. But you don't have the four walls that are around it, because one of the sides of mavoi opens into the Rishut Rabim. It's like a cul-de-sac where one side, the one open side, enters the rest of the roads. Inami, chatzer itle diurim. Chatzer has people that live in it. Highlightly be diurim. This does not have people living in it. Good reader that it has diurim in it. Therefore, it's common to have items in the chatzer that stay in the chatzer itself. People will leave things in the chatzer. By the mavoi, people don't usually leave things in the mavoi. Shatik v'lomarle v'lomide. He had no response for him. And now, zimnen ashkechet, Rabbi Zera found to be asi, the yoti v'gamar. And he was sitting and saying, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Shimon Lakish is the same in the name of Rabbi. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish mentioned that they saw Rav in Rebbe Shir, so they were also in Rebbe Shir. They were in Eretz Yisrael. They were youngsters at the time when they must have seen Rabbi, but they did see Rabbi. So it's interesting, Reish Lakish is quoting Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Pamachat, Shachov lo iviu Izmel mi'er Shabbat. There was a time they forgot to bring the knife before Shabbat. Ve'eviu b'Shabbat. And they brought it on Shabbat itself. Vaya hadavar kashe b'nei l'chachamim. And this was difficult for the chachamim. Heich mineachin divrei chachamim osim ke Rabbi Eliezer. How is it that they're paskening like Rabbi Eliezer and not like the chachamim? Kado. Why would they be object to this? Number one is because Rabbi Eliezer is shmuti. Rabbi Eliezer is a shmuti. I'll come back and explain that in 1 second. Ve'od yachid v'rabim malachah k'rabim. You have a machlok here between Rabbi Eliezer and the chachamim. We should paskin like the chachamim. It's the rabim neged the yachid. Now Rabbi Eliezer shmuti hu. Tosafot over here says that he's from Beit Shammai. That Rabbi Eliezer was a talmid of Beit Shammai. And that's what it means shmuti hu. Is that whenever we have a position of Beit Shammai versus Beit Hillel, Beit Hillel trumps. That's why he's called a Shmutihu. Others suggest that the word Shmutihu means that he was in excommunication. Rabbi Eliezer, after the incident with Tanur Shachnai, was excommunicated, put into Nidui. And that's why he's called a Shmutihu. So therefore we're not going to pass him like him because he's Shmutihu. It's one of those two possibilities about why this standing of Rabbi Eliezer diminished his ability to have the pahalocha like him, either because he's from Beit Shammai or because he's excommunicated. But for these two reasons, they don't understand why are they bringing the knife on the Shabbat and passing like Rabbi Eliezer. Rambam Shaya, Sheilita, the Rabbi Yehuda, Gozer. I asked Rabbi Yehuda the Cutter, Rabbi Yehuda the Mohel, the story is like this. It wasn't that they brought it through the Rishut Rabbim. It wasn't that they were following the position of Rabbi Eliezer. But the case or the incident was like this. It was a Mavoy that they didn't have a Shituf in. And they brought it from one end to the other end. And the baby was one end of the Mavoy, and the knife was on the other end of the Mavoy, and they just carried the knife through the Mavoy itself. So that would obviously not be passing like Rabbi Eliezer, and even the Chachamim would agree to this because you're carving internally in the Mavoy, and this is a Mavoy that doesn't have Shituf. Now the problem is, you have now Rabbi Zeira pose this question to Rabbi Asi, and Rabbi Asi didn't give him an answer. Now all of a sudden he hears Rabbi Asi darshaning and telling over all this information about the story of Reish Lakish and Rebbe, and then the Rebbe Yehuda goes there, and basically what he's saying is, you're allowed to carry in a Mavoy Shalom Nishtadeh. So he says to him now, Amarlei, Sirele Mar, Mavoy Shalom Nishtadfu, Mutar Letatel Bikulo? You hold, Rabbi Asi, that you're allowed to carry throughout this whole thing? Amarlei, yeah, that's what I hold. Amarlei, Vaz Zimnin by Minoch. There was a time I asked you this question, Lo Martli, and you didn't answer me, you didn't respond at all. So he said, Dilma Agav Shitfach Rahit Lach Gemarach. Says, maybe because of the flow, it came back to you. We call this mind association. You were going over, you were chazering over your Torah Shebaal Peh, and as you were chazering over your Torah Shebaal Peh, through a mind association, you remembered this halakha that you had heard, or this incident that you heard with Reish Lakish, Mishom, Rabbi, and then the story with Rabbi Oshaya afterwards. Amalayin, he says, that is the case. Agav Shitfari Hatali Gemari. When you posed the question to me directly, I couldn't remember. I didn't think. I didn't have anything to answer to you. Later on, or another time, when I was chazering my Torah Shebaal Peh, and as I was going over it, through mind association, I remembered this, and that's how I continued to say it. So now that I remembered it, you're right, that is the halacha, and that's the way I paskin, that a mavoy that doesn't have a shituf in it has the same din as a chatzer that doesn't have any roof in it, and you're allowed to carry throughout the mavoy. Itmar. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav, mavoy shelo nishtat fubo, ein metalkalin bo, ela bedalet amot. So now, all of a sudden, you have a statement of Rabbi Zeira. He asked Rabbi Asi what the halacha was. And now he says something that seems to be the opposite. Rabbi Zeira before got the information from Rabbi Asi that if you have a mavoy that you were not nishtatef, that you don't have a shituf mavot in it, that you're allowed to carry throughout. Now we have a statement from Rabbi Zeira in the name of Rab, mavoy shel nishtatfu bo ein metaltelin bo ala bedalet amot. You only can carry 4 amot in it, meaning it's restricted to carrying it. Amar Abaye, I milta amar Rabbi Zeira v'lo pirsha. Rabbi Zeira made the statement, but he never qualified when this applies. Ad ata Rabbi Baravua pirsha. But then Rabbi Baravua came and qualified the statement, explain to us this statement, which is Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravu, Amar Rav Mavoy Shelo Nishtat Fubo Irvu Chatzirot Im Batim Ein Mitaltin Lo El Bedalet Amot. If you have a Mavoy that they did not make a Shituf Mivaot in it, but nevertheless the courtyards that are around the Mavoy, they did make an Eruv with the houses that are in there. Ein Mitaltin Bo El Bedalet Amot. You can only carry 4 amot in there. Lo Irvu Chatzirot Im Batim. If the Chatzirot and the Batim did not make an Eruv, then mutar the tatel bikulo, then you can carry in all of it. So you have an interesting scenario. First of all, this explains why Rabbi Zeira is not cholek on Rabbi Asi, because Rabbi Zeira's context is qualified over here. Rabbi Zeira agrees that if you didn't make a shituf mavot, you can carry in the mavoy, just like he heard from Rabbi Asi. But he just says it's only in a circumstance where the courtyards around the mavoy didn't make an eruv chatzerot. They did not permit the houses in the courtyards to carry into the courtyards. Everything was asur. Everything was left untouched. And everything's asur. In that case, you can carry internally in the mavoy for items that are left in the mavoy. On the other hand, if they made an eruv chatzerot, that means all the courtyards around can interact with their houses. You can carry from the house into the courtyard, the courtyards into the houses. Then, even if they know they didn't make a shituf mavot, that means none of the courtyards can carry into the mavoy, you can't carry internally in the mavoy. That's what Rabbi Zeira says. What's the reason? Amalei, Rabbi Chanina Chuzah, the rabbo. Maishna, kirvu chatzerot im batim. What's the difference that when they made an eruv internally? The nitku chatzerot v'naseh batim. The reason is because the chatzerot now became houses. By making eruv chatzerot, what you basically do is join the ownership together. By joining the ownership together, you've now made it into one big house, basically. Now if you have one big house, you no longer have a mavoy. V'rav l'tamei. Rav is according to his own shita. Damar Rav, ein mavoy nitar belechi v'korah ad shiyu batim v'chatzerot betuchim letochah. You can only use a lechi and a korah, which is for the fourth wall. You can either put up a beam across the top, or you can have an upright on that fourth side, in order to allow you to carry in the mavoy. You can only do that if you have courtyards and houses opening into the mavoy.
which means that you have a void surrounded by courtyards that has houses that are open into it. When you make an Erev Chatzerot, you've eliminated the Chatzerot. There are no longer courtyards that open up into this Mavoy, because the courtyards and the houses now became one entity. You've joined them together through the Eruv to make them into a single entity. So therefore, you cannot carry into the Mavoy. Now, Tosafot points out that if you did a Shittuv Mavot, it would work. A Shittuv Mavot would work here, and then you can use the Lechi and the Korah. So I made a case here where they did not make a Shittuv Mavot. If you already have an Eruv for the Chatzerot around it, then it's restricted from the, obviously carrying into the Mavoy, but even internally in the Mavoy, doesn't help you that you put up a Lechi and a Korah. Doesn't help you to make that the fourth wall and to allow you to carry in that area. V'hacha, he says, I don't understand the difference. Batim, Ika, Chatzerot, Leka. Why is that? Because over here you have Batim, you have houses, but you don't have a Chatzer anymore because they all came joined together. Ki lo irvu nami. If they didn't make an Eruv, just the opposite should be the same thing. Look at the houses if they're locked up. You have chatzerot and you don't have houses. Because sitting between the mavoy and the houses is the chatzer. And since you can't carry from the mavoy into the chatzer to the batim, so because of that, the mavoy has no access to the batim. It has no way to access the batim because you have to pass through the chatzerot in order to get to the batim. So only when they're adjacent, the two properties, do you consider that, okay, they can't carry from the mavoy to the chatzer. But since they're adjacent, it's as if there's a mavoy that has chatzerot. But on the other hand, the houses, which are one step away, you'd have to cross through the chatzer to get to the houses, not adjacent to the mavoy, and it's as if they're blocked off from the mavoy. The mavoy has no access to those houses. It should be as if this mavoy only has chatzerot and not houses. Well, it says, no problem. You could have it that everybody within the courtyard can decide to dispossess their houses in favor of one individual. They basically give over their ownership in the property to one individual, and it becomes as if there's one owner now to the whole area. Mar says, so, baitika, batim leka. Rav's definition of a mavoy is that you have multiple courtyards open to the mavoy with multiple batim. When everybody dispossesses or disowns their property in favor of one individual, you have one house now that is around the courtyard. There's no multiple ownership. There's a single ownership now, and you're back to square one where you have one bayit and you don't have batim. Efshar, debitzafrad, palga, deyoma. It could be. This is according to the sheet of Rav that you can change midday. From the morning until halfway through the day till noon, they all disown their property in favor of one individual. From midday, from noon until the evening, they changed who was the owner. So now you have two batim. Mar says, sof, there's still no time when you have two houses there. For half the day you had one house, and for the half the day you had another one house. But you never had two houses simultaneously. That never happened. Alamar Varashi. Varashi explains this differently. He says, no, this isn't the explanation. Mi garam lecharetzerot shi asru batim v'leka. What causes the isur in the chatzerot? That is the houses. And that you don't have anymore. Once you've made the eruv chatzerot, there's no longer an isur to carry in this area. And so therefore, therefore you've now taken away the status of the chatzer. Before this point in time, the chatzer, had you left items or utensils in the chatzer, you would have been able to carry them in the chatzer, and you would have been able to carry them in the chatzer, to the karpaf, to the gag. You would have carried them anywhere because they stayed in the chatzer. And that is because Rav holds like Rabbi Shimon. Rav holds like Rabbi Shimon that all of these areas are considered to be one entity. Chatzer, the mavoy, the karpaf, the gag. They're all one area, the Gabei Shabbat. And so items that are left in these areas, they attain the status of being a joint entity. That's only true when the Chatzer remains independent of the Batim. Because then you could transfer items between the Chatzer and the Mavoy, because they're all considered to be one Rishut. Once you've now made an Erev Chatzerot, and the Batim and the Chatzerot allow for passage of items from the Bayit to the Chatzer to the Bayit, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Shimon agreed, then you can't carry items from the Chatzer to the Mavoy, or the Mavoy to the Chatzer, because you have Shchichei Manei De Batim. It's going to be common to find items from the house in the chatzer. Because of that, there'll be a great confusion of what you can carry, cannot carry. So therefore, we assert moving items from the chatzer to the mavoy in that instance. So because of that, when there is an Erev Chatzerot, you cannot carry internally in the mavoy, because now the mavoy and the chatzer became two separate entities. On the other hand, without the Erev Chatzerot, when the batim remains separate from the chatzer, then the chatzer and the mavoy become one entity. And because of that, you're allowed to carry internally in the mavoy if you didn't do a shittuv mavot, or internally within the chatzer, because he didn't do an Erev Chatzerot, and even according to Rabbi Shimon, between the chatzer and the mavui. Because the only thing that makes the mavui asur is the batim. Because of the multiple ownerships that direct into the mavui, that causes a problem from it. In this instance where there is no Eruv, the batim have been eliminated from the picture, and therefore the mavui is kilu, it has a shituf. It's as if you have a shituf mavot, because you've eliminated the multiple ownerships that come from the batim. And that's why over here, it's mutar to carry within the mavui. And that explained the position of Erizer in the name of Rav. Okay, we'll stop over here.